politics.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ground Zero, celebrating Loving the Movement, hosted by Anaya Betts and Reginald Clement. We celebrate by recognizing the small steps and leaps and bounds of individuals and activist groups who have led us further away from slavery and closer to full freedom, from mass incarceration through efforts for justice reform and in society at large. Today, we'd like to talk about trying to clear some things up and gain a deeper understanding of the full birth and impact of politics on our sense of humanity, especially when it comes to how people who are treated with the death penalty, when the DM received the death penalty, and when execution dates are set for people facing execution, facing their final 11th hour. And fortunately, I can speak from personal experience, thank God, through love and prayers of people. I survived almost being executed for a murder I did not commit, that I tried to stop. And the system acts as if it hates its own citizenry. And that's where we need some clarity and of understanding, because there's a lot of people that whenever you talk about rehabilitating prisoners and trying to take prisoners and re-socialize prisoners or bring prisoners into the fold of society, a lot of people be like, oh, the bleeding heart liberals. Well, it has nothing to do with bleeding heart liberals. It has nothing to do with being soft on crime. It has everything to do with what is it that society needs and wants. Now, the way I look at it when it comes to the death penalty, and the death penalty is a reflection of the government and people in power, hatred of criminals, and the politicizing of crime and punishment instead of it being about rehabilitation. When 85% of the people that are incarcerated are going to be released back into society, it is in society's interest that prisoners are rehabilitated and are the most productive, wholesome, peaceful, mature, productive individuals they can possibly be. And also, after a person has served their time, they paid their debt to society. Everybody deserves a second chance, another chance. And it is possible to rob a person of their chance when you seek to destroy that person. So, Raheem Leonard Taylor has been executed. It's been kind of hard to deal with his execution. And it's been hard to deal with how he was treated prior to his execution, where he was put in 4-point restraints. And what that means is that he was shackled with his ankles cuffed, chained up together, and with a waist chain, and his handcuffs connected to the waist chains. And that's how they had him in 4-point restraints during a visit with his family behind the glass. Well, the glass already provides a security measure. So to put a person in 4-point restraints where they got to like lean over and contort themselves in an odd, awkward position to hold the telephone where their wrists are cuffed to these waist chains. And then
this call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Put a smile on their face and project as much positive energy as they possibly can to their family, to their loved ones, to their friends. That's how it takes a lot of meditation, living, moving meditation, the internal prayer, to focus that deeply. And I went through that. They did that to me. And that's why it hurts me that he had to go through that. And that his family, his daughter, has to live with that as her last memory of her father, who she knows is innocent. Because her testimony and evidence proves it and pans out to establish that Leonard Taylor was in California at the time that the murders took place. They didn't have a hearing about the evidence. They didn't stop the execution and take out the time to see if they need to review it and have a hearing. That didn't cause them to pause when there was firm evidence in the form of airplane tickets and records from the airport that this man was innocent. So, in addition to being put 4-point restraints and for arbitrary reasons, they refused to allow his spiritual advisor to come visit him. Anthony Shaheed. A lot of people are familiar with Anthony Shaheed. And that's who was listed as his spiritual advisor. And a spiritual advisor is supposed to be to come visit you and talk to you and help prepare you spiritually and help prepare your heart and your mind and help you come to terms with things and listen for you to have somebody to listen to you and pray with you and go over scriptures with you. And they refused to let him in. And when he sat out on the parking lot making phone calls, trying to get in to see Leonard Taylor, they came out there and told Anthony Shaheed to get off the FM parking lot.
Goodness.
And I've spoken to Anthony Shaheed since then. And I can hear it in his voice, and I can hear it coming from his heart and his words. How painful it is to be denied the opportunity to help a fellow human being, to be able to show compassion to somebody in a way that is pleasing to God. In their 11th hour, this is a condemned man, this is a condemned person, guilty or innocent. It's a reflection of society's humanity when people are allowed to be treated like the less than doodle. When a person is humiliated and dehumanized, it builds hatred and not just opposition, it builds hatred for government and it destroys faith in the system. that system is supposed to be serving the people. This is not a system that serves my idea of humanity and justice and fairness. That right there, what was done to Linda Taylor, does not reflect what I would do to my worst enemy. I would not humiliate, dehumanize, or try to eviscerate the soul of my worst enemy, because that's a reflection of me. That makes me lose a part of myself. That's a reflection of a part of me that might not even, there might not be nothing there to lose. That's probably what it is. The death penalty is probably driven by inhumane people who have lost their heart and their soul and sense of humanity in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to say that that's all there is to it. But it's not. One thing about evil, one thing about heartlessness, one thing about wickedness in the hearts and souls of people, it don't know no bounds. Because even up until his execution, and this the thing that really, really should bother you, because it bothers me, the fact that they were nice to him about killing him all the way up until evidence came forward to prove he was in California at the time of the murders. And that's when their true feelings start coming forth and they start dogging him out, treating him like garbage. That's when they start tripping with him and putting him in 4-point restraints. Up to then, they're nice and accommodating. When it looked like they might not be able to execute him because he might be innocent, they got pissed off about that.
Oh, wow.
They got dogish because this man
is
like, hold up. How the hell did the TV just come on out of nowhere?
And I want everybody to take into consideration, however you feel about what I'm saying, I want you to take into consideration the spiritual impact of it. How you feel right now is because your spirit is moved. It sensed that I have the audacity to speak on behalf of the condemned, or rather than that, you feel a touch of compassion. It's a spiritual thing that we're dealing with here. When you start talking about prematurely ripping a soul from the body, ripping a spirit from the flesh before it's time, that's an act of violence, no matter how you carry out the act.
Or what documents you have to try to legitimize,
and may be monitored and recorded.
To try to legitimize why you're doing what you're doing. That shit don't matter, man. That shit
right.
Don't matter.
It don't. Because the thing is, there's people who have clearly killed somebody who was premeditated and did it a day after whatever the reason was for killing a person. They came to prison, did their time, and they're back on the street. And nobody's ever been able to tell me what's the difference between from one murder to another. A life is taken. And then the state turns around and does it again because they have a license to kill. Well, it's not a killing if you kill an innocent person. That's a murder. It's as if you kill all of humanity. justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, for all be blind. And up until Leonard Taylor's execution, up until his last breath, they talked to him like garbage, they treated him like garbage. And then even during his execution, they wouldn't allow him to have any witnesses there. So there was not a single kind eye, a concerned soul present to pray for his peace. And this was because early on, 30 days before his execution, he had said he didn't want any witnesses there. But then throughout the course of the process, he realized his family had a right to be there just as much as they had a right to be there. The people that love and care about them had a right to be there. So he changed his mind like 2 weeks ahead of his execution and tried to tell the caseworker and tried to let them know that he wanted somebody there on his side because there's three different viewing windows. One is for the press and the officials, public officials, government agencies and everything. The other one is for the victim's family. And then the third one is for the condemned family and friends, supporters. So that's, and they refuse to let anybody, Leonard Taylor's family, for anybody to care about him, love him and everything, to be witnesses to the execution. Only that one journalist in that they handpicked. And it ended up being reported that during his execution, he went through some type of pain and suffering because his legs stiffened up and his legs started to shake violently as he raised his legs up in the air. So that lets you know he was not unconscious. He was not numb. He could feel some type of pain and he was suffering during his execution, which is supposed to be a violation of the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution. So there's a strong possibility that we violently executed an innocent man and treated him.
You have 1 minute left.
Inhumanely prior to his execution. What does that say about us and our justice system and a reflection of our justice system? The heart and the soul of our judicial process and the courts, the judges, the prosecutors. What does it say? Because they represent you. They represent society at large, and everything they do it in your name. Because you voted for them. You voted for these laws. And these judges are supported by your moral consent. Silence is complicity. Silence is complicity. Silence is violence. So what type of souls are you trying to turn out?
Thank you for using Securus. Goodbye.
Their watch to them, their earring.
We'll get ready back on the line. So I want to talk about the spiritual aspect of this, and this being the fact that they seem to, when we are captured, it's just not enough. We got to go through more trauma, more heartache, more stress, more under so much pressure, under so much unrighteous and unlawful behavior, this unmoral behavior, right? They got to put us under so much. And with that being said, right, we got Reggie back on the line. I'm putting him on now. How can first man, listen. If I'm a person who has obviously already been locked up innocent, right? So I have all of these feelings in my head about the fact that, number one, I didn't do what I'm being accused of. I've already been sentenced to death row, so I know when I'm finna die. I'm staring death in his face every hour, every second, every ticking time period, and having to live with the fact that I will never see my grandkids. I will never see my children if I even had a chance to have children, right? I don't know completely Leonard Taylor's story, but, right, what type of spiritual warfare is this where when a man being executed, right, you are happy and loving to execute this man, but the moment that man puts resistance to bring light to his case, to show evidence that he is innocent, it is almost as if the devil comes out the box. He reveals himself, and he is trying to put you in a place to make you fearful of God's word, fearful of the strength, and that us as who we are covered people. We are covered people. And it's just, it freaking boggles my mind all the time when I see these atrocities, right? And I hear about these atrocious things that is happening in our criminal justice system. It's not justice. I hate to even call it justice, y'all, because it's happening to so many people. It's happening to enough people. Honestly, to me, like, one person is enough, right? When I hear it happen to one person, now I'm questioning everything. You know what I'm saying? But I understand it may not be like that to other people, because other people hold on to the traumas that they have experienced in their life from people stealing from them. And we've all been hurt in some form or another by somebody else. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to find a black person that don't know what it feels like to lose something and don't know what it feels like to be betrayed, you know? And for the inkling of our presence in our, I don't want to shove beliefs down nobody's throat, but I'm going to tell you this, right? When we are faced in those last hours of death and we are looking death in its eyes, right, a person's remorse or a person's regret can send them into a spiritual cyclone of trauma if it is not carefully soothe, and they say repent, but it's not really repenting. It's more like gaining closure. It's more like coming to a reconciliation and peace with your life. Because when you don't, right, you face on the other side of what it is life, right? Because in life we have water, we have the calmings of the water to cleanse our spirit, and we have that ability, right, to gain that closure in a different light, and we can use water to do those things. But on the spiritual side, when you have all those demons, and I'm not saying, it could be that you said you hate your mother when you was 3 years old, but that right there, that thought can manifest itself in your brain and in your spirit, something heavy, right? Something that simple. But if you don't come to peace with it and you don't have the proper guidance in death, right? The only thing that cleanses that fear of death or that fear of God is the eternal flames of fire. So now you are experiencing a traumatic shift into the spirit world because the spirit world has to clean you before you can then indulge in what is beyond the spirit world. And they seem to want to do that to us. They seem to want to put us in a traumatic state and not allow us to have peace because they know who we are. We just seem to not know. Do you get what I'm, like, I'm serious, y'all. I don't care what you have done in your past, bro. Your spirit is a part of an all-knowing source. Your spirit knows your heart. Truly. Even in the darkest times when you seem to not know yourself.
My understanding of our spirituality is that it is about growth, of progression.
Progression, yes.
It is about us trying to pull each other in the right direction as a chain of spirits, as a chain of light, as a chain of unity, as a chain of togetherness, and bound to one another through love. And it is this spiritual connection that bothers us, disturbs us, angers us, makes us feel happiness, joy, euphoria, satisfaction, pleasure, pain. And it helps, it brings us to hate things that we find to see wrong. But our response, our spiritual response.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Should never be destruction. Because destruction is lifeless. Destruction does not breed or nurture life. And there are those amongst us that are hell-bent on destruction.
Mm-hmm.
There are those amongst us that think it's powerful to do harm. No. It's sacrifice is powerful. And our justice system and our prison system should be about redemption. It should be a redemption project. It should be a restoration project. It should be something that course corrects, like reform schools used to do. We need to take the racism out of the justice system. And where I get that from is in the 40s and 50s, the prison system was smaller, and it was all about rehabilitation. But it was a lot more white people locked up in prison at that time. But the more blacks you ended up with, the more it got oppressive and destructive to the human soul.
We have 30 seconds.
I hope that one day we will see the light. One day we will stand together against the darkness. And we will pray for one another and pray sincerely in our hearts for the uplifting of humanity. That we may elevate each other as the grand architect, creator of the universe has so desired and designed and decreed. I love you, I pray for you, and I hope we help you find the peace that we need. Benaya?
Yeah. Peace, y'all. This was Ground Zero.